My gosh, we need an intervention for you.
Be the final play of the college season, perhaps, if Clemson gets a touchdown to win it. If Bama can hold them out, perhaps a field goal attempt for overtime. Watson, touchdown! Hunter Renfro, little man, makes another enormous play.
And Clemson runs out of the field and celebrates. They come to California and strike gold. Clemson's going to the Elite Eight.
Out of bounds.
The center fielder at the wall. It's out of here. It's out of here. Got the distance. Does it have the accuracy?
Yo, you don't even know what stupid is. It's about to get all stupid up in here.
It's time.
All right, let's do this. Match point, touchdown, etc.
Welcome in. Glad to have you with us. We are live on the Roar on a Friday, August 14th. 2026. Thanks so much for joining us here on Out of Bounds. William Quaggenbush and Keanu Smith live inside the Up Country Fiber studios. Up Country Fiber is a stronger connection. 654 Roar. If you want to chime in, feel free throughout the show. We got some good stuff coming your way today. Some really interesting stuff, some interesting topics, interesting questions that I'm excited to bring up to everybody. And sports, non-sports, it's going to be a real free-for-all Friday feel, which is an outrageous bit of alliteration right there. I'm never doing that again.
That's kind of dangerous.
Very dangerous. Keanu, how you feeling?
I'm feeling good. Feeling alive. Feeling alive.
Honest to God, folks, Keanu, his eyes lit up so big. His eyes got so big when he said that I'm a little afraid.
You know, I haven't had any coffee. I haven't had any,
none?
An energy drink. None. And you know, I'm kind of a big coffee guy. I'm a big coffee drinker, like a white chocolate mocha latte.
Oh yeah.
That's my Starbucks drink. That's my Dunkin', drink. I haven't had one today. I haven't had one.
Okay.
Not one.
So you're feeling, you're like high on life is
yeah,
what you're
I'm
telling
kinda,
me.
I'm kind of juiced up. I'm not on it. Okay. I'm not on any steroids or anything like that. Don't get it twisted, but I'm excited.
Okay. There's a lot going on. We're going to nail down exactly what it is. I know it's because you watched the Colts-Patriots preseason game last night that ended in a 13-13 tie.
I
know that's
that.
Right.
I did see that.
So I know that's it. I'm certain that's exactly why you're feeling so on it today. I know for a fact it's the DJ Uiagalelei touchdown pass.
I saw that, and that was a dime.
It was a dime.
That was a dime. Now, see, why couldn't he do that with Clemson? You know,
he did that some.
I mean, yeah, but I mean, he could have did a little bit more. Could have did a little bit more.
6 of 9, 120. I'm still look. He outplayed Trey Lance last night. I'm still taking Trey Lance. Like so much of the preseason NFL. Can I just tell you? So much of the preseason NFL is it's very similar to anything else. It's like you have your preconceived notions of players. So unless you actually think these guys are even, how they play is largely like it's just going to confirm your priors a little bit. Like, is there anybody that went into maybe the Chargers do. Is there anybody that went into last night's game being like, you know who I don't have an opinion of? Either Trey Lance or DJ Uiagalelei. So they go into last and like they're battling for the backup spot. Like I was like my Colts, my team last night. Anthony Richardson plays the first half. Riley Leonard plays the second half.
Well, the fact that Anthony Richardson even played kind of surprised me based off of what's going on there right now. But I mean, he's down to play, so I kind of understand. But in the same sense, as they've already named Riley Leonard as the second backup. Am I right?
Or they the first backup, actually. They have all but said it. They're saying, "Oh, there's a competition," but like Richardson apparently has been a disaster in camp. He's been awful.
Not even
and
just camp.
He doesn't even want, like, he doesn't want to be the back. Like, would you want to be the backup? No. I wouldn't want to be the backup of a team that drafted me and basically jerked me around the way the Colts have. Not that they're wrong to do it. I'm just saying from Richardson's perspective, absolutely not. Honestly, personally, get Richardson out of my life. Let's just excise that. Let's pretend it never happened. And give me a Daniel Jones, Riley Leonard quarterback room. Give me that.
So what's the progress on Daniel Jones right now? I know he got hurt last year. So, I mean, when is his projected start date?
He is, I am reading, he's doing well. I'm reading they're being cautious, but he should be ready to go. That's what I read yesterday, that he should be ready to go. And basically, they're just trying to soft play him in the scrimmage portions.
Well, they were having a good season before he got hurt, and then it went down from there.
They were. I have read some stuff about Richardson outplaying Leonard last night, and that's kind of what I'm talking about. Like, is that changing anybody's mind
about Richardson?
Because Richardson was better than Leonard last night, so Richardson's going to be the backup now.
I don't think that really changes anybody's mind at this point in time. Not me specifically. I mean, with everything that went down and him saying the things that he said on social media and the podcast that he's been on, at this point, it's just time to just cut ties and just find a new destination for him.
Do something else, man. Do something else. I know I got no patience. I got short attention span with these guys, but nah, man. I don't want a top five pick being my team's backup after a half decade. Nah, man. We're not doing that.
You said you were a Colts fan, didn't you?
Yeah.
Tell me how that came about.
So it's a popular question. This is a great Friday question, actually. Popular question. My dad grew up in Indianapolis, and I still have family up there. And so I'm a Colts fan because the Colts are there. And also, like anything else, my dad is a Packers fan primarily because the Colts were in Baltimore when he grew up. So he's a Packers fan. We root for the Packers as well. The Colts also had Marshall Faulk, Peyton Manning, Marvin Harrison, Edgerrin James, Dallas Clark, Dwight Freeney, Robert Mathis,
great
Gary Brackett. Like, great players.
Great players.
When I was getting Tony Dungy was the head coach. Like, of course you're going to love that. So, you know, that helps. It's like my dad grew up a Reds fan, and so he's a Reds fan. Well, I watched the Braves every night as a kid. My favorite player was Ken Griffey Jr. So when Griffey gets traded to the Reds, I'm like, well, this makes sense.
Okay.
So I'm a Reds fan.
So you're primarily a Reds
day.
Fan. Are you locked a fan in. Of the Braves at any?
Yeah. Partially. I enjoy the Braves. Like, I don't have any hate in my heart for the Braves.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. And you know what? I think they're a fun team.
The Braves?
Listen, there was about 10 years ago, more than that, because I was on with Mickey. They had a team that was like the fun police, and I would show up every day and be like, you guys, the Braves are insufferable. Do y'all remember that team? Braves fans out there, you remember, and you probably defended your team then, which is fine. But, like, remember, I believe it was Carlos Gomez of the Brewers, like, pimped a home run, and I think Brian McCann, like, tried to stop him between third and home. The Braves were always like, oh, yeah, we did the thing and it was fine. Like, all the unwritten rules. There's always one team that's like some controversial happens and they're like, no, this is why what we did is okay, but what you did is the worst. And we're the only ones, like, everyone sucks but me kind of a thing at the unwritten rules of baseball. That Braves team was not fun. I did not enjoy that team. I did root against that team because there was no reason for them to be like the baseball police. And it was like once a week I would show up for Mickey's show. And, of course, Mickey likes to, you know, poke and prod the Braves too, so he would just enjoy it. But I just remember that year there were so many examples of, like, we can hit a guy because of this, and this unwritten rule, but you hit our guy and it's never okay and all this stuff. Like, it was ridiculous.
Sounds like a double standard to me.
Most of the time, though, the Braves have been fun. Even their, you know, when they were struggling, like mid-2010s and stuff, still fun.
I find myself being a Braves fan by default, just by how close they are. I've kind of integrated myself into their culture. I've been to a couple of Braves games myself too, and I've kind of enjoyed it. So by default, I'm a Braves fan, but I'm not mad at it.
You know, I'm triggered by this. Texter gets in, future Dwight, and says, don't forget the ever-fragile Bob Sanders. I would nominate the Bob Sanders Defensive Player of the Year season as perhaps the greatest individual season by a player that never played. I don't think he played more than 8 games in any other season. He was absolutely a train wreck waiting to happen his entire career just for 1 year. And it was all injuries. For 1 year, he dished out train wrecks. Every single week was like a car crash. Like, he was unbelievable in terms of his playmaking ability from a safety position. It was a smaller safety out of Iowa that absolutely crushed people's souls and ruined your life, but he was hurt his entire career. Defensive Player of the Year, that one season, among my favorite individual seasons as an NFL fan.
You've got to hate injuries, especially when you're a player.
Oh,
but as a fan as well, injuries are terrible.
100%.
It's hindered so many players.
Okay, so we are going to go in and out of sports and no sports. I want to say some other stuff about – we talked about quarterbacks yesterday with Lenore Sellers. I want to – there was an article earlier this week by Adam Rittenberg of ESPN, and there were some interesting quotes from, like, anonymous other coaches about quarterbacks that I think are fascinating. Some I agree with and some I have questions about, so we'll talk about that. Here is a topic that I kind of want to be the main topic of the show. I was thinking about this last night. I have posted a poll. A poll hath been posted at theroarfm.com/polls. The Roar mobile app, click the poll tab, cast a vote there. And I'd love for you to vote. This will be open for a few days, okay? I posted on TikTok. This is my first TikTok, so you can follow me at Quawk Talk on TikTok. I'm very brand conscious on social media. And so I posted it on TikTok, on Instagram, and on Facebook, okay? Clemson has a lot of offensive options. We've talked about that. One of the things that I've been concerned about is that there's a lot of folks who are looking at Clemson's offense and going, all right, if everything's great around the quarterback and he just has to manage the game, we'll be in a good spot. And my thing is, when have we seen that work? I don't know that Clemson actually has the pieces to do that. I think the quarterback is to be a playmaker. But it led me down this path of thinking, well, what can I count on to lead the offense then? Because here's the thing. Stetson Bennett, we're using Georgia as the example. Everybody goes to, just like the Georgia offense, where the quarterback's just kind of there and doing it. Stetson Bennett had Brock Bowers. Like, these quarterbacks, these great quarterbacks had elite tight end, elite running game, elite offensive line, elite everything. I don't know if Bennett had Bowers. I'm not sure when Bowers was a freshman and if it coincided. Regardless, maybe it was maybe Bowers was Beck. Doesn't really matter. My point is they had elite players at those positions. Oscar Dell, like they elite players. Who is Clemson's elite player? Like, who's the alpha player? In 2011, the Chad Morris offense, it was Sammy Watkins. It was a freshman, okay? Nuke Hopkins would also qualify as a returner from 2010. That Taj Boyd had these two, like, elite, future first-round pick weapons. So my question is this, and again, you want to comment on TikTok, you can. You want to comment on Instagram, Facebook, you can get my comments. I would love for you to vote on the poll on the website. And I'd love for you to get in on the Adams Grooving text line and the Pratt Andrew Lawyers phone lines on this. Mike Krzyzewski's quote, I've heard him say this in person at Clemson press conferences, and I've heard him say it a number of times. At the end of a game, you think of players, not plays. Now, Mike Krzyzewski said players, not plays. So you think of players, not plays. So he said you think of players, not plays. And that is a revolutionary idea, I think, because a play caller is supposed to give the concept that's going to create the opportunity for the play to work. But Mike Krzyzewski's saying, from a basketball standpoint, the first thing you think of is who needs the ball in their hands. At the point of decision, the moment of decision, who needs the ball in their hands? It doesn't mean that's going to go there always, but what am I going to draw up for who? Okay, and the who is the most important question, not the what. So I asked the question, 4th and 3, game on the line. Chad Morris is trying to figure out what to do. Who gets the ball? Who's the player on Clemson's offense that gets the ball? And I have eight options. I put eight players in here. The point of decision, who gets the ball? Who gets the pass? Who gets the handoff? Who's carrying the ball? Whatever the case, okay? Christian Bentancur, Tyler Brown, I did them alphabetically, Gideon Davidson, Chris Johnson Jr., T.J. Moore, Olsen, Pat Henry, Christopher Vezina, Bryant Wesco. You've got eight options in the poll. I want to know from comments, because Clemson's got a lot of options, but on fourth and three with the game on the line, you really need to know who your plan A is. And it might change every game, but I like to know going in, who's my plan A? So if you're looking at this Clemson offense, fourth and three, game on the line, you're the offensive coordinator, you're in Chad Morris's shoes, you got to figure out who's getting the ball. Who am I drawing up a play for? Who's the guy? I want to know from Clemson fans. Not just you got a bunch of options, but you got to nail it down on fourth and three. Vezina's not going to be able to go progression one, two, three, four, pat the ball on fourth and three. You're not going to be able to do that. So you got to know where it's going. I want to know who it is. I want to know your answer, Keanu. I want to hear from all of you as well. 654 Roar is the number. We'll be back in just a moment.
The countdown is on. 22 days until Clemson Tiger football. Presented by Ingles. Ingles. Low prices. Love the savings.
Shotgun set here for Deshaun Watson with Gallman to his left-hand side. Takes the shotgun snap. Going to go left side. Watson is going to keep it. Gets it to five. Turns it upfield. Into the end zone. Touchdown.
105.5. 97.5. The Roar. The Roar. Where every day is game day.
Let me tell you about our friends at Tiger Sports Shop. 50-plus years serving the Clemson community. What an awesome legacy that is for Tiger Sports Shop. And as they open up their sixth decade in Clemson, there's no telling what's in store for the next 9 years. But what's in store for you is the best place to shop for Clemson apparel. Whether you're talking about the Nike sideline apparel that the coaches are wearing, right now it's the polos. In a couple of months, it'll be that long sleeve. It'll be sort of the slick, the dry fit stuff. Whether it's the Lululemon, whether it's the Champion, the Cutter and Buck, the comfort colors, you go ahead and stock up on those. Whether it's stuff for your pets, for your car, for your home, for your tailgate, they've got you covered with the latest and greatest in Clemson apparel. There's something for everybody at Tiger Sports Shop. They've got the backing, the history, the tradition. This is a place you need to go. Downtown Clemson Highway 123. If you're out of town, they're always open at tigersports.com.
Bro, college, or local.
They got it all.
105.5 and 97.5, The Roar.
Here's a quick experiment. The next time you're sweeping your floors, take a vent cover off and look inside. See it? The dust, the pet hair, the dead bugs. Gross. Imagine that in every vent of your home, and that's the air that you and your family are breathing every day. Ace Plumbing Electric Heat and Air is here to give you a free duct cleaning with every new membership, ensuring you have clean air in your home today. That's up to a $1,000 value, and that's not all. You still receive all the amazing perks of being an ACE member. This offer will not last long, so book now at acehomeco.com.
This is Leighton Cubbage from Lakeside Lodge, Lakeside Lodge Clemson. Across Lake Hartwell from Death Valley, Lakeside Lodge has every amenity you could want, including Traditions on the Lake restaurant, a pool, hot tub, and fire pit. Stay with us for the weekend or buy your own condo to enjoy anytime and earn income using our managed rental program. Visit ownership.lakesidelodgeclemson.com to start your new game day tradition.
You strike out because you have your own team pitching to you. And I walk up to the plate, and the umpire's behind the plate, and I go, man. And 98 Braves is my walkout song, and I go, I wish we would play like the 98 Braves.
Oh, man. So you got to – I mean, sometimes I say this. Like, I root for my team every year. But every year there are opportunities for me to adopt, like, individual versions of a team. Like, there are NFL teams that I really enjoy. And I'm not going to root. I didn't root for you last year, and I'm not going to root for you next year probably. But right now, you're fun. Honestly, this year, you know what that is for me? It's going to bother a lot of people. I like watching the Nationals. That team can freaking hit. They run. They are fun. That is a fun team. Now, they don't pitch a lick, and they don't defend at all, but that's part of the fun of it. They would be like an NBA League Pass team. Like, you talk about who's the NBA League Pass team of the year, it's a team that doesn't guard a lick, that they're going to give up 120, but they're going to score 122. That's kind of where I'm at on this.
Huh, so you're basically saying the Nationals are just eh.
Yes.
They're like, eh.
Yes.
But they're good enough to watch for you, though.
100%.
Okay.
Yeah. Let me tell you about our friends at Falls Park at Kiwi, our friend Jim Anthony, who has done great work all over the upstate designing these communities in elite, exclusive, natural spaces, has done it again in Salem with Falls Park. 71 home sites. You've got, I mean, just a boatload of acres. And I say boatload because you've got access to two lakes. You've got concierge access to Jocassee on one side, and you've got direct access to Kiwi on the other. And that goes for the entire neighborhood. If you are somebody who loves outdoor living, but you love the peace of mind, the safety, the security of a real tight-knit community, this is an excellent, excellent place to call home. For more on home sites and how you can get it on the ground floor, go to fallsparkatkiwi.com. Yeah, Texter says if you're getting beat 29-0, you should probably turn your walkout songs off.
I'm
not opposed to this idea.
I mentioned that to my teammates. I said, guys, we're getting beat bad. I was playing in right field actually, and I only practice tennis baseball one time a year, and that's actually when we have this event. And you know, it's an art when the ball is in the air and you have to track that thing down. It's so small in such a big sky. I did terribly. I did absolutely awful, but you know, it's for fun. It's for a good cause, so it was all good there.
I'm interested to hear the answers to this question. I'm interested to hear from you. 654 Roar on the Pratt Andrew Lawyers phone line. Adams Gorfing text line. Early entries in the poll. I'll just say this: we've got a smattering of responses. The RoarFM.com/polls. The Roar mobile app. Click the poll tab. Six different players already have a vote. The only players that don't have any votes are Chris Johnson Jr. and Christopher Vezina. But I looked at my comments on social media, and Vezina has multiple comments. Chris Johnson Jr. got a vote. So literally all of these, this just went out. I just posted the TikTok reel or whatever, the TikTok vid, like 30 minutes ago. Instagram, Facebook, just up. We just talked about it on the air for 15 minutes ago. Already, every single one of these has a vote, which is my point. That's my point. Now, I want to talk about some candidates here and maybe who I like and who I don't like for this role. By the way, before we get into that, the reason I put fourth and three, I was telling Facts in this between the shows. The reason I put fourth and three is because fourth and six, you're probably not running it. It takes running backs off the table. Fourth and one, you're probably not throwing it. But fourth and three, depending on where you are on the field, depending on which kind of defense you're in, you could call a run, you could have triple ops, you could have RPO, you could have a drop back pass, you could go empty, you could go jumbo, you could do all this stuff. You can legitimately have the entire playbook at your disposal at fourth and three, in my opinion, okay? So that's why I said fourth and three. It puts everything on the table. You can do anything. We've had texters talk about, where is this one? Text from the 864 says, try to get the other team to jump off sides. I didn't put that in there. That feels like the loser's way out, but sometimes that's what you do. Sometimes less is more on that. Texter says, where's my jumbo package guy? Come on. Where's my jumbo package guy? I got a jumbo package guy in there. Texter from the 864 says, give the ball to Gideon outside the tackles. Texter also says this, and here it is, fourth and three, put a jumbo package in the backfield, split Johnson in the slot, throw to Bentancur. That's a lot. So the answer to your question is Bentancur. That's the answer. Another texter said this, I want Bentancur to be the answer. If he is, then our offense is very dangerous. Let's talk about that for a second. If Bentancur is the answer, says, then our offense is very dangerous. Chad Morris, I would love to go back and chart because the receivers got a lot of love in the Chad Morris offense and in the Elliott Scott offense that followed the Chad Morris offense. But can I tell you something? The tight end position for a number of years was a real staple, especially in the red zone. And especially on third down, with Dwayne Allen, with Jordan Leggett, with Stanton Sechinger, You had some other guys that came through here too, but those are the three that came to mind that had like huge plays at various moments when Clemson was really building. And Clemson really hasn't, in recent years, they have not involved the tight end to that degree. You had Jake Brenningstuhl, who had a really good 1 year. That was probably the notable exception there. But when you're telling me you got OPH, you're telling me you got Ben Kerr, you're telling me you got Brooking, those three guys at tight end, and Charlie Johnson apparently is like blowing away camp, I'm giving you options to a Chad Morris offense that has routinely taken those options in the tight end room. Ben Kerr's the best catcher of the ball, best route runner, most fluid player of that group. So if it's similar to the Chad Morris offenses of yesteryear, then the tight end is going to have a big role, especially down toward the goal line. Your thoughts on Benton Kerr as an option here?
I think for me, Benton Kerr is probably 1-3. Now, me in my opinion, I think the tight end is probably the best dumping ground for a quarterback. Obviously, well, that's not just my opinion, but that's several people's opinion. I would make him my first option. My tight end would be my first option on 4th-and-3. As far as after that.
Okay, so you're nailing it down. You're saying, but with my 8, you're whittling it down to OPH and Ben Kerr?
I think tight end has to be first.
Okay.
Are we on the right side or the wrong side of the 50?
I don't know.
Because that's very important. That is very important to me.
I think with 3 yards to go, I'm not as worried about that unless you're like inside the 10. All I got to do is get 3. Then whether I'm on your side or my side of the 50, I don't need a whole lot of space. You know what I mean? It's not like I'm 4th-and-8 and it matters if I'm at the 15 or at the 45.
Okay, I see where you're going.
That's kind of what I'm saying.
In my opinion, I would definitely start with the tight end. 4th-and-3, I'm kind of hesitant to run the ball because with the offensive line, I just wouldn't trust that. So I take running back out completely. I would start with tight end, and then I'd move to my slot wide receiver. Now you put TJ Moore and you put Brian Wesco on there. This is really hard for me. I'd probably go Benton Kerr. And I'd probably go maybe Wesco, and then I'd probably go Moore. Those are my top 3.
Okay. Now, I'm going to go ahead and say, in my mind, some of this does matter. The situation does matter, okay? Your opponent does matter. I'm telling you to conceptualize without knowing who the opposition is, without knowing what personnel they're good at, without knowing individual tendencies. Just we're worried about Clemson right now, okay?
Who you're giving the ball
to. We're worried about Clemson. We're just playing Clemson. Don't let Clemson be Clemson. Like, that's what we're talking about right now, okay? Without knowing any of that, I do think it matters what personnel you have on the field. Because you mentioned slot receiver. I think if I'm ideally setting it up. Again, I said game on the line. So you're talking about at the end of a game. I've put a lot of stuff out there, and I know what has worked and what hadn't. Maybe I've not executed in jumbo or in, you know, 12 personnel, 22 personnel. With tight ends and backs and fewer wide receivers on the field. But I'm thinking 2 tight ends, 2 receivers is my formation. Now, if you're going to spread it on 4th-and-3 to give yourself some options, which you could do, especially if you want to run it, you might spread it with 4 wides or 3 wides and put Ben Kerr in one of the slots and maybe crack somebody and run the ball. You can do a lot of things on 4th-and-3. Conceptually, I've only got 2 wide receivers on the field. I think Ben Kerr is a really good option, though, especially if you're trying to run a little play-action quick hitter, get some yards after the catch, maybe a little pick play, put Ben Kerr on the ball side.
I like the sound of that.
Yeah.
I like the sound of that. I think it's just very – it's definitely very contextual, and it varies based off the situation that you're in. But I think Ben Kerr is probably the number one option for me, Olsen, Pat Henry. A big physical body that could take a hit and move forward.
Get in and vote on theroyfm.com/polls. The Roy Mobile app, click the poll tab. All 8 players have at least 1 vote. All 8 already. This team, there's too many options. There's too many. In my opinion, that's one of the weaknesses of this offense right now is there are a lot of good players, but there is not a clear numero uno. There's not a career. There's not a clear option A who's made a career of making these types of huge plays. We haven't seen it. So let's keep that in the back of our minds as we vote. I think it makes it very interesting. We'll get back to this more on the other side. Hour one continues after this.
Looking to rile up one of our hosts?
Just want to have a chat with a fellow fan?
Whatever the reason,
give us a call on our Pratt Injury Lawyers phone line
at 864-654-ROAR. The Roar,
where your voice is always heard.
Let me tell you about Nick Lavery, Nick Lavery's law firm. If you are somebody who's gotten in trouble with the law, you know that the next few days are vital. The next few weeks, the next few months are vital because you don't need that bad decision or that arrest or, you know, whatever the case may be, however you want to characterize it. You don't need that ruining the rest of your life. What you need is somebody who's going to fight for you, who's going to have your bag, who's going to be on your side and making sure that your family gets peace of mind and that there's some comfort there knowing that it doesn't have to ruin the rest of your life because you got somebody who's giving you the representation that you deserve. That's Nick and his team. Again, 25 years serving the Clemson community. Nick and his team could get it done. DUI, MIP, drunken disorderly, these types of charges, whether we're talking about a vehicle accident, particularly if you're not at fault, he loves dealing with those and getting you justice that way. Wrongful death, these are all things that Nick and his team of attorneys can fight on your behalf if you're dealing with them. For more, NickLaveryLaw.com or see him behind Mellow Mushroom.
Strike up the band because it's time for college football.
Over the middle.
105.5 and 97.5. The Roar.
Interesting. Essentially, what we're asking two questions within this, okay? Number one, you have a new offensive system. So in the very particular circumstance that I'm putting in here, fourth and three, game on the line, where does Chad Morris's mind go? We have to figure that out. At the same time, we have to figure out which player or players are going to step up and emerge as the type of leader and personality. Forget the physical tools. I think all of these guys, everybody on this list, has the physical tools to be able to make a big play on fourth and three and to do it over and over and over again. Chris Johnson Jr., I haven't seen him in a Clemson uniform. He's a big play guy, so maybe not like a three-yard game. If I need 30, you might go CJJ. I'm not sure I'm going to go to him fourth and three. Like, I'll probably cross that one off. But third down Tyler Brown from his freshman year, third down Tyler Brown was automatic in these big situations. Sit down in the soft spot of the zone, catch the ball, fall down. The Marvin Harrison method. Do it.
Did you put Brown on your list?
Brown's on here.
Okay, Brown's on there.
Got two votes so far on the website poll. Brown is on here. T.J. Moore and Bryant Wesco both have capabilities. Now, I believe it was Faxon during the show change. He said, not Wesco because of the Georgia Tech game. Last year, Wesco has the big drop on the sideline in the Georgia Tech game that would have gone a long way in making sure that Clemson could have won the game. So maybe you hold that against him. As a young player, I'm okay with that in this circumstance. You've got some urgency because you've got LSU and you've got Cal and you've got Miami in your first five games. You need to know what you're doing on third down. You need to know what you're doing on fourth down. You need to know where you're going. What's the name? What's the face? What's the skill set that you're prioritizing? Is anybody going to step up and do that? So I think the answer to both of those questions can help guide you here, but I don't know that the answer is clear. I think it is to be determined in every respect. Is there an option A that will go to the huddle or go to the sideline or look at the coach and say, on fourth and three, I'm him. Give me the ball and mean it and be able to do it. Is there something, some guy that Chad Morris will develop a comfort level with that he can say do it. Because right now, I don't know either of those things. We don't know who Chad Morris is going to have a comfort level with. We don't know what types of plays Chad Morris can have a comfort level with. We don't know what this offensive line is going to be able to execute. We have so many questions. We think, and you can draw a roadmap to, hey, you could do the Taj Boyd running up the center's butt for 3 yards. You could draw me a map to that. You want to get back to that? Taj Boyd did it for 3 years. Really, more or less the last two, for sure. He just take his nose up in there like a fullback and get 2 additional yards like nobody's business in short yardage. And he never gave it to the jet. They ran jet motion 1,000 times and never gave it. And it didn't matter. Taj was going to stick his nose up in there and get those yards. You could draw me a roadmap to Clemson's going to be good at doing that again, and I'd say, I got you. Run it between the guards. Not even between the tackles. We're going to run between the guards.
Do you think Christopher Vezina can do that though? Would you trust the ball being in his hands running up the middle like that?
I wouldn't right now, not for three.
Me personally, I'd be very hesitant to do that.
You know what's amazing though? You look at Vezina's specs. I think there's this idea, maybe because he came in young or something, that Vezina is like a string bean. When I talk to people about Christopher Vezina, and even when we talk about him, I think we undersell how physical he is. He's not Taj Boyd necessarily. He's not Jared Lorenzen. I heard Mickey and Paul Strelo talking yesterday about the sort of comparison between Vezina and Taj Boyd. And really, at the end of it, I think Paul ended up saying that Vezina is probably a more willing runner than Taj in terms of the between the tackle stuff, and can take a little more of a beating. He's built a little more like DJ or Taj than like Cade Klubnik, who, you know, is not really going to put his foot in the ground and cut up field and absorb a blow and get an extra yard. He was going to run wide if he was going to run at all.
Or backwards.
Or, oh boy. Touche. Touche. Unbelievable.
But it says Christopher Vezina is 6'4", 210 pounds. I mean, yeah.
He's not 230, but that's not tiny, you know? Like, he can fall forward and get you half a yard or a yard.
If the offensive line can get a yard, 2 yards of a push, and he could jump over the offensive line, maybe. But I'd be very hesitant to do that, though. Very, very hesitant.
The updated poll, this is up to the moment, at theroarfin.com/polls, Roar Mobile app, click the poll tab. The leading vote getter is TJ Moore right now.
That seems just about right.
31.3%. The next highest vote getter is Benton Kerr at 21.9%, and third is Bryant Wesco, 18.8%. I think it's clear two things. I kind of want to disabuse us of the notion that you can't run the ball in fourth and three.
No, you can if you have a good enough or a big enough running back. You can.
See, I think, and the one thing last year in the one game sample that we have with Vezina, the one thing, I've said this many times, the thing he did better than Cade was the timing stuff close to the line of scrimmage, the horizontal game, the quick game. The ball came out quickly and decisively and on time and on the spot. It wasn't behind guys or low or high or late or early or weird or delayed decision making. He didn't do any of that. He can do that. You give me an RPO on a fourth and three like this, make Christopher Vezina the player of decision. Until I see otherwise, and a big otherwise is the guy's never played on the road ever, and now he goes into maybe the toughest road environment in college football. Maybe the toughest road environment anybody will go into all season, this particular LSU game. It's possible that Christopher Vezina, you know, wets his pants. It's possible that he doesn't do it. But I'm just saying the quick game stuff that Cade Klubnik was asked to do always looked clunky. That's why people yelled at us about screens every week for the last year plus. They've yelled at us about screens. You know when people didn't yell at us about screen passes? When Christopher Vezina was running the quick game against SMU. He could run the quick game. Now, you might be like, well, I prefer my quarterback to not just be good at the line of scrimmage or behind the line of scrimmage. Do you know, if you look at the teams that threw the highest percentage of passes behind the line of scrimmage, like Haynes King threw something like one out of every three passes behind the line of scrimmage. There were lots of good offenses last year that did that. And if you're telling me I got to get 3 yards and I'm asking Christopher Vezina to read two defenders, I'm saying that's a pretty good chance of working. We can keep the run on the table with two guys. I said I would do that. If I were if I were Kendall Briles, I said I would do that with Lenore Sellers. That I would build in a lot of three-way RPO stuff with Sellers, where he's reading two guys, and if it's not there, then I'm just going to tuck the ball and get as many yards. But I'm not going to make him go through three progressions on a seven-step drop sitting right squarely in the pocket. I'm just not going to do a lot of that. We're going to do a lot of read this guy, take off with Sellers. Take advantage of his athleticism in early downs and in short yard situations like this. So it's clear that a lot of y'all are not thinking about running the ball. You're throwing it to Ben Kerr, you're throwing it to Moore, you're throwing it to Wesco. You're not thinking about running the ball. I think we have got to keep it on the table that this team might be good enough to, with misdirection and RPOs and with some options out there, this team might be able to run the ball on fourth and three and not get yelled at.
All right, then, if you're keeping running the ball on the table, if you're keeping running the ball on the table, who are you giving it to? You giving it to Davidson or are you giving it to CJJ?
It's Davidson. Now, Davidson's not my answer. I just want to be clear about that. Davidson is not my answer.
I mean, you put it on the poll?
Yeah, of course. I'm just seeing.
I am playing a little devil's advocate.
Look, okay. That's it would not be my answer, not because I don't want to run the ball. I actually think that maybe video games and maybe the era that we're in, people are like, well, fourth down, you have to throw it. You can't just hand it off.
If I have Derrick Henry, I'm giving the ball to him. Exactly. I'm letting him go.
That's what Texter from the 864 says. If you have Marshawn Lynch in your backfield, you run the ball. Don't we know it?
Little beast mode action.
Didn't Pete Carroll find that out the hard way in the Super Bowl?
Ooh-wee. You're bringing up old stuff. Quark.
I know.
They ain't going to like
and
that.
I'm stabbing people right in the heart like with that. This. Mm. Texter asks this. Nick gets in, says, another factor is, do we trust CV to get the ball where it needs to go on fourth down? Not saying either way, just a factor. That's why you got to do this exercise, in my opinion. Because Christopher Vezina, in my opinion, on a fourth and three, particularly I'm thinking about game one, you cannot give Christopher Vezina read one, read two, we'll go to the backside, we're going to go option three.
The decision is too important.
We don't have enough experience to do that. You might have to force a ball, which is a really good reason that if you just want to force a ball, TJ Moore's competitive catch ability is very intriguing to me and to a plurality of you. Now, it's less than 30% of voters, but more people have voted for TJ Moore than anybody else. And I think that's it. It's wingspan, it's height. It's like, I didn't put Tristan Smith on here, but like on a fourth and three, if you're going three wideouts, you might put Wesco in the slot and put Smith on one side and Moore on the other side.
I don't know about that, Quark. I saw Smith drop plenty of balls last year.
I'm not saying throw it to him. I'm just saying make him think about it.
Okay, make him think about it.
Oh, we're doing jump balls over here, all right?
Okay.
We'll talk about this more in hour two. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
WCCP-FM 105.5 Clemson. Greenville Anderson. WAHT-AM 1560. Cowpens. 97.5 Spartanburg. We are the Roar.
Let's talk about Arthrex real quick. And I say real quick because that's how fast it feels like they have built up that campus. Real quick. I mean, it's unbelievable what they've done. And they continue to grow. They're building new buildings because there's new work to be done. There are new frontiers that they have to attack in terms of surgical and orthopedic technology to put everybody from weekend warriors to professional athletes back in the game. That's what Arthrex is great at. That's what they care about. That's what their employees care about. They're passionate about it. If you want to work for a great company that's going to benefit you in terms of your quality of life, it's going to benefit you in terms of your work-life balance and your work experience, you're working for great people, with great people, doing important work, Arthrex is a spot for you. There are jobs available in Sandy Springs. Go to the website for more at careers.arthrex.com.
Game to game.
conference to conference. We are your home for college football.
He scores!
105.5 and 97.5, The Roar.
Whether it's a summer heat or a sudden cold snap, your home should be your sanctuary, not a source of stress. When your HVAC system struggles to keep up, you need a team that puts your family's comfort first. LA Heating and Air, serving both Georgia and South Carolina, we provide residential repairs, installations, and advanced air quality solutions for all makes and models of HVAC units. Don't wait for a breakdown to take action. Visit LAHVAC.com today to schedule your free quote and discover why we say comfort is our guarantee.
Strong Industries.